Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey,
greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
Until the Christians came. children. And they cut out their tongues, burn their way of life.
They're
strong enough to
singer-songwriter Dennis Harrison and members from the Songs for Justice Project, which consists of Gabe Horn, Betty Hurst, Ted Williams, Diana Osborne, and myself, Ones Pritzker. I featured this song, When the Christians Came, as an introduction to today's focus on the colonial legacy of Father Junipero Serra. His Christian mission system caused the genocide of many Native peoples in what's now called California. Ush great greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. Friar Junipero Serra, known as the Apostle of California, was an 18th century priest, explorer, and colonizer. He personally was responsible for the establishment of 9 Christian missions. He presided over at least 15 missions on stolen Indian land. His mission system was responsible for one of history's worst cases of genocide. In September 1988, Pope John Paul II blessed Junipero Serra with the formal Vatican pronouncement of beatification against the wishes of many indigenous peoples throughout the Americas. Wolf Mountain Native Radio is very honored to have Apache Indian brother, Mr. Harold Dick Jr., as our guest today on Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. Harold and I have been friends for many years. In today's program, we discuss this colonial conquest of priest Sarah in the protest against the Vatican's plan for canonizing Father Junipero Serra. Harold is a spokesperson for Soil, still on Indian land. Soil's coalition has a campaign against the Vatican's church blessing of Junipero Serra for sainthood. This Vatican blessing of Junipero Serra is a very important issue for indigenous peoples. It exemplifies the historic role of Christianity in the conquest and oppression of non-European peoples throughout the world. To me, Christianity has been and continues to be one of the worst things to have happened to native peoples. For over 500 years, since that colonial pirate, Christopher Columbus, and subsequent conquistadors and missionaries invaded tribal peoples of the Americas, the Catholic Church has been a major force of conquest and murder of millions of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Even in modern times, Christian missionaries are still forcing their religion upon tribal communities. I have observed priests in different areas of Indian country and in the Third World being very disrespectful of native spirituality. I've seen missionaries still trying to convert Indian peoples by trying to discredit Aboriginal traditions and ceremonies. One particular example I've spoken before about on Wolf Mountain Native Radio is the U.S.-based New Tribes Mission Organization. This group has often been some of the first early contacts between indigenous peoples and the outside white world. The New Tribes Mission has a sophisticated worldwide network of outposts, complete with small airstrips and radio communications. In some instances, Third World governments sanction these missionaries. In these Third World governments' way of thinking, the missionaries are, quote, pacifying wild Indians, unquote, thereby making it easier for government and multinational companies to take control of traditional tribal homelands. European colonization and forced acceptance of Christianity or death stems from the May 4, 1493 Vatican Declaration Inter Satera Papal Bull, delivered by Pope Alexander VI. Shawnee legal scholar and friend of mine, Mr. Stephen T. Newcomb, has researched the history of the Church and Vatican policy of conquest based upon this 1493 Inter Satera Papal Bull. We at Yad Kiddushin Native Center had the honor to hear Steve's presentation on this subject at a historic 1992 conference in Palau, co-sponsored by Radio for Peace International. This event was entitled Peace in the Planet, Native Wisdom, Native Rights, and Mother Earth. This gathering in what's now called Oregon brought together indigenous peoples from many parts of the world to sit together in council. I wish to read a portion of an essay written by Steve Newcomb that is posted on the website of the Indigenous Law Institute. Professor Newcomb is director of the Indigenous Law Institute and is a nationally recognized Native American scholar. Quote, since 1992, we at the Indigenous Law Institute have been working to publicize the truth about the history of the Inter Satera Papal Bull delivered by Pope Alexander VI on May 4, 1493. This document, issued shortly after Columbus's first voyage to the Caribbean, expressed the Pope's earnest desire that barbarous nations be subjugated and brought to the faith itself for the spread of the Christian empire. Earlier, such crusading Vatican bulls called for perpetual slavery of Africans by capturing, vanquishing, and subduing them, and by taking away all their possessions and property. In the year of the Columbus Quincentennial, we began a campaign to point out to the world community that these papal documents were instrumental in the injustices committed against the peoples of the Americas, Oceania, Africa, and Asia. Such papal bulls directly sanctioned colonization, the slave trade, and bloody campaigns that resulted in the deaths of millions. Scholars have correctly identified the Inter Satera Bull as the historic cornerstone of colonialism worldwide, unquote. Father Junipero Serra was born Miguel Jose Serra at Petra on the island of Mallorca, Spain, in 1713. In 1729, at the age of 16, he entered the service of the Catholic Church and took the name Junipero Serra. In 1749, Father Serra left Cadiz, Spain, to undertake missionary work in the so-called New World, sailing to Veracruz, Mexico. From age 36 until his death at age 70 in 1784, Junipero Serra's Christianity Crusade established the following nine missions. 1769, San Diego de Alcala. 1770, San Carlos Borromeo. 1771, San Antonio de Padua. 1771, San Gabriel Archangel. 1772, San Luis Obispo de Tulsa. 1776, San Francisco de Assisis. 1776, San Juan Capistrano. 1777, Santa Clara de Assisis. In 1782, San Buenaventura. Junipero Serra was the principal architect and administrator of this 18th century mission system. They were built by Indian forced labor who were forced into Christian servitude. These missions were, in fact, concentration camps. Tens of thousands of native people died during this era who were forced to live under Spanish colonial rule and law of the Vatican. In 1987, the Vatican campaign to make Father Serra a saint highlighted this effort by planning a papal visit to what's now called California. Today's program is my interview with Chiricahua Inde Apache brother Harold Dick Jr. from 1987. Before we listen to my conversation with Harold, I want to share with you a statement by the Still on Indian Land Coalition that Harold represents. This statement is read by Yad Kiddushi Native Center's co-director, Betty Hurst. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wontakrasin, to all of our relations.
Santa Cruz Native American Support Group. Sisters and brothers, we are seeking your endorsement of the vigil and other associated activities which will coincide with the Pope's visit to the Carmel Mission on September 17, 1987. We are coordinating the gathering of a sacred hoop during this time to focus attention on the hidden heritage and the current situation of Native Americans of California. Considering Friar Junipero Serra's proposed sainthood, this papal visit is an important occasion that challenges all people of conscience, regardless of race or religious persuasion, to acknowledge the contributions of the California Indians who were forced to build and maintain the Spanish mission system at the cost of their cultures and their lives, and whose descendants still suffer from prejudice and abuse in our society. The principal activity of the vigil on September 17th will be a pageant of conscience to offer respect for the thousands of Indians buried beneath the Carmel Mission and to offer support for the tens of thousands of California Indians who continue to struggle for their political rights and religious freedoms, their sovereignty, and their dignity. These indigenous peoples of this land still strive to defend themselves and their families, their ancestors and their future generations, their traditions, and our only Mother Earth. And they deserve our company as staunch allies. This pageant of conscience will be a prayerful gathering in which we will peacefully and imaginatively express our collective aspirations and concerns. This vigil will be neither an angry protest nor a festive celebration. This pageant will be an opportunity to honor our issues and values in a quiet, joyful way. The main focus of the vigil will be the Native Americans whose blood, sweat, and bones ennoble the soil upon which the Carmel Mission stands, and on their descendants from many regions to the north and south who will join together with us in this moment. And in keeping with the genuine concern we feel for all of our relations, all who accept this focus and who participate in this coalition will be welcome to express other aspects of our struggle as well. The political, cultural, educational, logistical, and financial aspects of this coalition work and its principal activities will be detailed in subsequent communications and meetings. Some of our particular interests and events are elaborated on an accompanying page. Also enclosed are a call to the vigil from Two Sisters of Notre Dame in Carmel and a report on the missions from a fourth grader in Santa Cruz. We urge you to consider both endorsing this pageant of conscience and participating in its associated activities. Please tell your friends about this event as well. I will be contacting your group by phone in the near future to assess your interest in this matter. We can decide then how we will go forward together. In solidarity, John Abalone Walsh and Harold Dick Jr. Still on Indian land, the Santa Cruz Native American Support Group Communique, a Mission Soil Coalition. The Santa Cruz Native American Support Group will be sponsoring events before, beyond the particular vigil on September 17th. There will be traditional Indian ceremonies, teachings and forums, cultural presentations, heritage displays and other events in schools, churches and communities around the Monterey Bay Area and Central Valley. On July 16th, people from the Mission Soil Coalition will be meeting with members of the U.S. Secret Service, the Vatican of Rome, the Carmel Mission Papal Team, the California Highway Patrol, and the Carmel Chief of Police to discuss our activities coinciding with the Pope John Paul's visit to the mission, our ecumenical concelebration. We shall insist that there be a brief audience with the Pope for a delegation of traditional California Indian people, that there ought to be a rectification of mission history concerning the brutality of the Spanish colonial period, and that there be a visible acknowledgement of the thousands of Indians buried in the mass grave beneath the mission and of their contributions to the development of the mission system. Also, we shall insist that our peaceful activities during the vigil on September 17th be undisturbed by the police and that a traditional Indian ceremony be allowed at the mission immediately before it is closed off by the Secret Service. The soils of the Californian missions are composed of the sweat and blood and even the bones of tens of thousands of Indian people, and these missions today are still on Indian land. There can be no reconciliation with the church until the shameful history of the mission era is suitably acknowledged. The black legend of Spanish colonial practices at the frontiers of their empire has been known throughout the world for centuries. And for the Indians of California, it remains a deep wound that has not yet been healed. Just as it is within the Catholic Church, there can be no forgiveness without penance and without repentance. Since we insist on mutual respect for religious practices with regards to Native American spirituality, we too respect the right of the Catholic Church to act as it pleases concerning its liturgy and ceremonies or on subjects of faith and morals. However, because of our commitment to the truth, we must observe that the proposed canonization of Junipero Serra, the prelate of Spanish genocide along the Pacific coast and the architect of its mission system, is a further assault on the Indian peoples of California and throughout the Americas, and that it is wildly inconsistent with the recent declarations by the Pope himself, such as his discourse with the Mapuche Indians of Chile in April of this year. While visiting the Mapuche Indian community of Temuco in southern Chile, Pope John Paul II declared in part, quote, "The Pope today from Temuco urges the Mapuche people to proudly preserve their heritage, the traditions and customs, the language and values of their people. When you defend your identity, you are not only exercising a right, you are also doing your duty, the duty of transmitting your culture to the next generation, enriching the entire Chilean nation in this manner with the values which characterize your people, love of the land, the stubborn love of liberty, and the closeness of your family unit. Be aware of the ancestral richness of your people and make them flower and bear fruit. You have often been victims of injustice and exclusion. On occasion, you yourselves have denounced the fact that unscrupulous people are using you for their own profitable ends without respect for your dignity or your rights. Love always conquers all. That love and peace which I insist do not remain inoperative, are not passive, but which make themselves manifest in initiatives, activities, and works of solidarity on behalf of your people, and in regaining what have unjustly been deprived of, unquote.
Listen now to part two of my conversation with Ende Apache warrior brother Harold Dick, Jr.
What is the recognition for what has happened to them? What is wanted is the right to rebury their dead in a proper manner. What is wanted is, if it is impossible for them to be removed, to have the area of the graves, or in a lot of cases the area of the shrines, to be open to the descendants of these people who pay so dearly with their life and with their blood and with their pain, with their agony. The land should be open to their descendants so they can go in and so they can pray and so they can worship in their own way. A lot of the people who are involved in this situation in California with Junipero Serra and the coming of the Pope, see, the whole purpose of this is that there are some, I guess you would call them right-wing church people, much like, you know, they're right-wing Republicans and right-wing Democrats and, you know, the hawk and the dove situation, whatever that's supposed to be. These people are like the right-wing Catholics who feel that the United States is basically saintless. And so this man who was responsible for the mission system, which they look upon as a good thing, should be canonized. Well, we think he should be canonized, but we spell that canon a lot differently. Also, within the Catholic Church, there are the Christians who are in the Catholic Church. They don't agree with this whatsoever. So that people don't get the wrong idea that all the Roman Catholics want this to happen, there is a large, very large segment. As a matter of fact, it's the majority in California and surrounding areas of Roman Catholics who don't want this man canonized. And there are small, select, you would call them, I guess, far left Roman Catholics who are calling for excommunication. And for those who know nothing of the Roman Catholic Church, excommunication is it's with them they have heaven and hell. And if you're excommunicated, it's the shortest ticket to hell that they have. I mean, you can do a lot of things, and you can go to confession, and for them, and it can be okay. The Pope can say, well, that's okay, and then everything is fine. But if you are excommunicated, then that's it. There is no penance. There's no way that anyone can make you heavenly, I guess. Again, you're straight to the other side. I don't feel that it's my position to really state one way or the other what I believe about this, because it's not my situation to clean up. This is a situation that they have to work on themselves to feel justified in their existence. What we're doing, and this situation has been called together by the elders and the holy people of the California Indians, is to have on September 17th at Mission Carmel, that's Clint's town, so this is going to be real interesting, a prayer vigil. And the purpose of the prayer vigil is just that. It is a vigil. We will all come together and we will pray. We will attempt to educate people who are out there as to exactly what went on at this point in time in history. No one can really deny it. That's the whole point. It's because they have it in their own history books. But they say that it was a right and a just thing. We say that it isn't. And we believe that the facts should and will, speak for themselves very, very clearly. We have approached the people from the Vatican and the head of the diocese, I think is the word, out there, so that they call it granting an audience with the Pope. And seeing as how he is a strong, the religious leader for basically, for in all actuality, the most populous, organized religion, which brings to mind, what is a disorganized religion? Anyway, the largest organized religion in the world, this world here, and also being the head of state, which is Vatican City, we have approached the Vatican representatives and the diocese so that the elders and holy people of the people of California can meet with this head of state and holy man. And the thing that none of us dispute is the fact that this is a holy man. I mean, this is we don't dispute the spirituality of the situation. We don't say that you know, our religion is better than yours. That's something that they used to do. I just hope that they've had the opportunity to pass through this horrible phase of their history, and recognize that that the Creator speaks to all of us differently. What we're talking about here is a separate but equal, because we are separate and equal. I mean, you look in it's like looking at a forest, or as a good friend of mine once described, it's like going into a garden, and all of these all the parts of the garden living in harmony. No, you know, we have the rose here, we have a lilac over here, and we have daisies and pansies, and they all live in this garden, and they're all different, and they all provide something very special and provide something very, very unique, but they all live there in harmony. And what we talk about in this situation is that we be allowed to live in harmony with these people who are there. If there's any radicalizing going on, we also believe that that is up to the Roman Catholics themselves to do all of these things. We are we're trying to put together you know, caravans of people from all parts of this country to come out to Mission Carmel. It'll be basically the 16th and 17th, and starting on the 15th, in all actuality, starting on the 15th, to have everyone come out there and bond together as people of conscience. We're not coming out there as political activists. These terms aren't even being used as far as communication and dialogue is concerned. When roughly 2 weeks or so ago now, we had there was a meeting in Monterey with people from, as I said, from the Vatican, their representatives and the representatives of the diocese, and various and sundry armored police people who keep the peace. They say they keep the peace, whatever. And people from the media were there, and they kept talking about protest. They kept talking about demonstration. And the thing that we tried to make perfectly clear is that there is not a demonstration, because demonstration, though it can mean anything in today's mixed up world of semantics, as a brother of mine pointed out, in other words. We as Native Americans and Indians have never had the expression "in other words," because the word tells you what it means. These people will see the word "demonstration," and the first thing they think about is people running through the streets, smashing windows, and, you know, burning down the church or whatever they're up to. And we are not protesting what the Roman Catholic Church is going to do, because we don't feel it's our place to protest what they do within their own religion, as we also feel it is not their place to tell us what to do within the confines of what we believe as Indians. So the thing that is not welcome is violent protest of any kind. The use of the words, as I say, demonstration and protest, are not to be used in this situation. This is a vigil. It is a prayer vigil. It is a vigil for peace. It is a vigil for understanding. It is a vigil for unity. Because we say unity because, as I said before, we are separate, we are all different, but we are all equal. On this earth that we all have to walk on, we must all really learn to walk in balance, in harmony, and in beauty with one another. If someone chooses to, you know, worship in a church, well, that's fine. If someone chooses to worship in the temple, that's fine. If someone chooses to go to the mosque, that's fine. I choose to worship outside. I believe that's fine, you know, because to me, being outside is the natural way to do it, because you are in the Creator's realm. I mean, if you build a building, though it could be built from the gifts the Creator has given you, you're in something that is basically man-made, whereas when you're outside, you are in the Creator's hands, totally. But that's what I believe. That's what we believe over here. We don't expect instantaneously all of the Roman Catholics, all of the Protestants, all of the Jewish people, all of the Arabs, all of the people from India, all the various religions, all of a sudden, you know, burn down and destroy their places of worship and worship the way we do. We don't want that to happen. We want to be able to do it our way and allow them to worship their way. I don't find anything wrong with it myself. You know, speaking for myself, I think in many respects, because of the life variances of various places and of various peoples, it is what makes this makes the worship different, because their relationship with each other is predicated on their worship, and how they relate to each other is predicated on their worship, and how we relate to each other is predicated in how we worship. The Pope will be there on the 17th in California, and at which point in time we hope that our high holy people and our political elders will be allowed to meet with this man as equals, because they are equals. He is no better or greater than they, and vice versa. And if either side believes that they are better or greater, then the Creator will take care of that in the Creator's good time. The Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, talks about forgiveness for sin, and but they also talk about penance, and there can be no forgiveness without penance. And we, and basically here I'm talking about the California Indians. When I say we, I speak as an Indian. I don't even claim to be a direct representative of the of all California Indians, because I'm not even a California Indian. In this respect, I say this as a
traditional person.
Right. Very good. Thank you. I was searching for this word. And as a traditional person and as a person of conscience, say that the Roman Catholic Church, we want to forgive them for everything that they have done. And I know a lot of us, because of the way we were taught, have forgiven them in our hearts, because everybody makes a mistake. Everybody does something that's wrong. We just believe that if you do it once, well, okay, you know, we'll see how you do it the second time. If you do it the second time, then we get a little bit concerned about, where your spirit lies. If you do it the third time, then we, you know, we'll sit in council and discuss the situation. And if you do it the fourth time, I know with my people, it's a good opportunity that you will just be ostracized from the people. We will, as we say, we turn our back on you. And at that point in time, you can do anything you please, but you've had your chance. And you've had more than ample opportunity to... you cannot correct a wrong, but what you can do is not do it again, because it's already happened, it's in the past. And now we go forward. And so what we ask for is that the Roman Catholic Church, in all actuality, have their penance and acknowledge. That's, to me, to us, this is the big penance. I mean, the only penance we ask is that they acknowledge the wrong that was done, and that it's not going to happen again, and we can all continue. This is all we ask from a people who, in this man Junipero Serra's time, their idea of penance was a cat of nine tails, welts on your back. They would rip the skin off of these people for doing something really horrendous, like speaking their own language. For trying to sneak out of the confines of this mission and go to one of their sacred places, one of their shrines, so they could worship in a right manner, and for these things their tongues were cut out. Now we don't say, well, we should cut out all the tongues of the Roman Catholic. We should, whip them for these. We don't even look at it that way. We feel that this is not just that it's extreme. It's just not valid. It is not it is not the right manner. I mean, what is necessary is this is the way it happened. We are sorry, and it's not going to happen again. from that point on, we can sit down and speak and live together as brothers and sisters on our Mother the Earth, under the sky of the Creator. That's all that's really being asked for in this situation. There will we're attempting to put together, and it's going to happen, will be a circle. The circle will be formed around the mission in Carmel as part of the prayer vigil. And no one will be turned away from the mission itself. We're not going to be there to block their entrance. We are not there to stop them from going in to practice their religion. That is not the point. The purpose, of course, of the circle is evident to all of us, you know, here. It is to show that this is our religious standard. All things come full circle. That the sun, which warms all of us, comes full circle. That the earth swings in her circle, that all things are in the circle. The circle is a sign of the unity, and it's a sign of the strength of all of the people. And that's how we would practice, and we just want to show people this is how we practice. We do not want to keep them from practicing what they believe. All we want, as I said earlier, is the opportunity to practice as we believe.
Kantanka, Onshimala, Wichane, Shokuwayo. Heyana, heyaneyoe. Heyana, heyaneyoe. Heyana, heyaneyoe. Oh, great spirit of compassion, show me the way. Show me the way. Show me the way. Wakandam kaya. Onshimala yo yo yo, wichane shonkua yo yo yo, wichane shonkua ne, hey anna yo we, hey anna yo we. Hey anna, hey anna, yo wei ho. Wakandanka, onshimalaya, wichane shonghua yo. Wakandanka, onshimala, wichane shonghua yo. Hey anna, hey anna, yo wei. Hey Anna, hey Anna, oh hey. Hey Anna, hey Anna, oh hey. Hey Anna, hey Anna, oh hey. Hey Anna, hey Anna, yo hey. Hey Anna, hey Anna, yo. Chetuelo, Chetuelo, this is good, this is good. Peace to your journey. Love you.
Listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point
for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kedichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kedichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kedichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kedichi's Kinonwatakusin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kedichi Native Center, write to Yat Kedichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kedichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The music you heard prior to a Yat Kedichi Native Center's program identification was a very fine prayer song from Jesse Kalau entitled One in Spirit. Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native American Radio. I want to again sincerely thank my Inde Apache brother, Harold Dick Jr., for being our guest today and sharing his comments on the colonial legacy of Father Junipero Serra and the Spanish mission system. I also am going to now share with you the comments from a fourth grader from the San Lorenzo Valley Elementary School. She's 9-year-old Nicole Aldinaldo, and she shares her thoughts on today's subject, and her voice is read by Yat Kedichi Native Center's co-host, Betty Hurst. And we will conclude today's program with a very beautiful song entitled White Buffalo with Robert Tree Cody from Canyon Records CD, Voices Across the Canyon, Volume 2. And as most listeners to Wolf Mountain Native Radio know, the White Buffalo to Native American peoples is a very sacred buffalo. Until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio, this is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. Aho, Kinonwatakusin, to all of our relations.
This is a report on the missions from a fourth grader in Santa Cruz, a 9-year-old Nicole Aquinaldo, about the missions. Although I have read about the missions in books and learned about the missions in school, I have also learned about the missions from California Indians themselves. In the Indian culture, Indians do not always write down their history, but they teach their history orally. They don't write it down in books, at least during the time of the missions.
They pass down their history from parents and grandparents to the children. Today, there are not that many left. In the first 100 years of Indians in contact with the missions, 80% of the Indians died. Why? One Indian I know says that her ancestors were used as slaves by the missions. The missions wanted to get rich. The missions made the Indians build the missions, which is a Spanish way of a fort. Indians who tried to escape were imprisoned or killed if they did not obey the missionaries' ways. A lot of California Indians changed their names to Mexican names to protect themselves and their families. If the missionaries were such good people, why didn't they respect the Indians' lives and culture for what it was? Why did Father Serra have to ask the Vatican if the Indians had souls or not? At the time of Father Serra's arrival in California, Indian people were already self-sufficient people with their own culture and their own religion. In the Indian religion, Indian people believe in the same God Christians believe in. The differences on how they worship are many. But I know that even today, after visiting many Indians, their belief in the Great Spirit means to respect life, the earth, animals, and so on. If the missionaries did so much work for the Indians, where are the Indians today? Why don't they still have their own land? I believe it is because of visitors to their land came to conquer the Indians to take their land from them in order to make money and get rich. A few Indians are left today are very poor and live on reservations. I have read about the missions and visited San Juan Bautista. And one day, I hope to learn about the real relationship between the missions and the Indians. Fourth grade report for San Lorenzo Valley Elementary School.
Oh, Francesca Boyati, Vovina Vestel. Francesca Boyati, Vohe Vestel. Vovina Vestel. Vovina Vestel. Oh, Metaco.
One in spirit.